I appreciate gardening, don't you? I appreciate having things. I don't know who all leaves stuff on the table out there, the different vegetables that are left out there. I appreciate it because I get to take home some of those tomatoes, and oh, there is such a difference, is there not? In a tomato that's left out here on this table, I don't care if it's got a wormhole in it. It tastes better. The worms are better. Every part about it is better. Amen? I really enjoy having that good stuff. And that follows from a principle that was laid down. And here's what I want to lay out for you. God has principles and laws upon which he based this whole universe. I don't know about you, I'm glad for gravitation. I'm glad that it holds me down here. I'm glad it doesn't have areas where it's not, so that you're walking along, all of a sudden, pew, you're gone, and then you have to figure out how you're going to get back again. I appreciate gravity and knowing that it's always there. In that gardening, I appreciate the law of sowing and reaping. Don't you? I like to know that when you plant something, God's commanded the ground to bring forth, and it does. But I like knowing that what I planted is what I get back. And I also like knowing that what I planted always gives me back more than what I planted. I can plant a seed. I can put a tomato plant in the ground and know, I think we counted about 20 tomatoes on our vines there. And I know that they're going to be ripening in days to come here. That was far more than we put in the ground. I like knowing that. You see, that works for the good. If you plant something good, isn't it exciting to know that something good and more of it is coming back? Remember this. The ground of your mind is really, just like the ground that you plant seeds in, is really not concerned about what you plant. It's only concerned about doing what it's supposed to do. Bring it up. So if you plant tomatoes, you get tomatoes. If you plant weeds, what do you get? Weeds. Happens every time. The same thing's true about the way you think. If you plant the truth, what comes up? And more of it than you planted. What happens if you plant lies? It comes up. And to our shame, more of it than we planted, right? Those principles are at work in our lives. I want to give you another principle that I don't know what its proper name is. I'm just going to call it the 828 or the 828 principle. The 828 or the 828 principle. If you want to call it 828, you go right ahead. It's based on Romans 828. And Romans 828 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." You see, I need to invest in that. He says, I know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. I know that. That is a truth. And with that truth that's there, I can rest assured that even when I'm having difficulties, God knows how to take difficulties and turn them into good. That's why he calls on us to be grateful for things that arise instead of griping and complaining. If you gripe and complain, now you have to work with the process. If you learn to be grateful, then you're always looking, what's the good thing that's coming from this? Because my Father, according to the Romans 8:28 principle, always brings forth good from something that didn't look so good. Let me give you the 50-20 principle, because it's a lot the same way. This comes from Genesis 50:20. And that was where Joseph is speaking to his brothers. The brothers are scared. Dad's gone now. And they're scared that Joseph, who was kind to them as long as Dad was alive, but now that Dad's gone, maybe he's going to kill him off. So they come and they kind of plead with him, you know, be nice to us, Joseph. We're sorry for what we did and so on and so forth. Listen to what Joseph said, Beth. "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is to this day, to save many people alive." See, God has a way of taking things that people mean for evil and reversing that thing to make it come out for good. Those are principles we need to get down in our head, just like sowing and reaping, just like the law of gravity. Here's one that works. You see, God is a good God. If you're going to believe what we're even studying about here, we're studying about the sovereignty of God, We had started on our way through Isaiah, and I realized I needed to explain some background material before we can get very far along in this. If we're going to understand the goodness of the sovereignty of God, we're going to have to put in our minds that he really is good. You're going to put that in your mind. Not everything that happens in your life is joyful. Not everything that happens in your life is just smooth going. There are difficulties. And may I say to you, there are difficulties for everybody. You're not being picked out. Difficulties, problems, and challenges are for everyone. The principle is, how do you work with it? And if you're one of those 828 people, those 50-20 people, you're understanding, this is difficult, but my Father is too good to do evil. And he will bring something good from this. Therefore, thank you, Father, for what you're taking me through right now. Give me grace to appreciate it. All right? Now, I'm saying that by way of introduction because I've got some things that I want to do this morning that may be a little bit different than we're used to. I'm going to give you all the blanks filled in, and then we're going to come back and do the rest of it. Fair enough? You say, why would you do that? If you don't know me by now, then you won't understand why. Because I may not finish today. Amen? And if I don't finish, at least you'll have the blanks. And you won't sit there puzzled all week saying, oh, I just wish I knew what B was. He didn't say B out loud. Who plotted? Who did that? We're going to have music and have the invitation right now. All right? Okay. Boy. Tough crowd. All right. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you the terms of the covenant, of the new covenant. Okay, we've been through this for a few weeks now, talking about the fact that there was an old covenant. The Mosaic covenant was given, and that's been something that's a difficulty for all of us. What do we do about that thing? Let's state this up front. That old covenant was given to the children of Israel as an instructor, first of all, to teach them your arrogance in believing that you can do things that please me, I have to teach you that you cannot. Secondly, it was a covenant given to Israel for living in the land. You want to live in this land and be blessed, keep the covenant. You don't keep the covenant, I'm getting you out of the land. When you turn back and say, I'll do the covenant, then I'll bring you back. But it's about living in the land. Everybody with me on this? So that old covenant also revealed to us what's the righteousness of God. But the problem with the old covenant is it cannot give you life. It can point out what is right, and it can tell you why you're wrong, and with it, it becomes a condemnation. It becomes a covenant of condemnation because it tells you the wages of sin is death, and here's what you broke. You're going to die. That's an instructor to say, then how could we ever live? And that becomes a great question. So when we come to Jeremiah 31, we come to God's statement of a new covenant. Not like the old one. So let's look at the terms of that new covenant. So letter A. And don't worry about the points underneath it. I'll just give you letter A. And I hope this all works out great. I thank all the guys who are up in that sound booth right now trying to follow me and what we're doing. Letter A, God will regather Israel from the corners of the earth to which he had scattered them. God will regather Israel from the corners of the earth to which he had scattered them. Okay, that's the first thing. Make sure you have that in your notes. Letter B, the days are yet coming. He says this in Jeremiah 31:31, the days are coming. So we can write here, the days are yet coming. Now watch this. He controls time and the timing development of events to accomplish his will. He controls time. You see, God is eternal. And he's standing outside of this thing that he created. He created time. The same way he created space and matter, he created also time. There was a beginning. God's eternal. He's not living in time. He's outside of time, but he controls time and he controls timing. He can tell you when he's going to do a certain thing. And in order to do that certain thing, he's got to develop the people themselves to carry out that. So he's in charge of time, timing slash development to get those things accomplished. Everybody follow where we're at here? If you do, go like this. Okay, so let's make sure we're getting this. He is working on the mindset of people all through time in order that they might think the thoughts they want to think, and they'll be responsible for the thoughts. But he's the one working with them to develop them so that he can accomplish the will he wants to accomplish. All right, let's go to letter C. This new covenant will be with the houses of Israel and Judah. And that's a reunited nation. At the time of this writing, they were a divided nation. The northern kingdom had already been defeated by Assyria and had been scattered all over. This tells us that God is going to bring Israel and Judah back together again, a reunited nation. Letter D. It will be different from the old covenant. He says, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand. Now, we'll come back to that a bit later. A different covenant. Letter D. It will be different from the old covenant. Letter E. He will incorporate the Torah into the lives of people, writing it in their hearts. He will incorporate the Torah. You say, I don't see Torah anyplace in here. That's the Hebrew word for law. He's writing law in their hearts and minds. But the Torah is more simply than law. We'll show you that in just a little while. It's the natural laws that come. It's all of creation. It's all of everything. We'll come back to that in a few moments. So he will incorporate the Torah into the lives of people, writing it in their hearts. Letter F. There will be a new relationship with God that will be established. The love of God will be the key, not mere superficial ritual sacrifice. There is no way to have simply a great relationship with your husband or your wife or your family if you follow simply ritual of what's supposed to be done. Let's see, we're supposed to eat a meal together. Let's eat the meal together. We're supposed to greet each other, so let's greet each other. We're supposed to have good conversation, so let's have good conversation. Those all flow out of a loving relationship, not a ritual. And Israel had been trying to deal with God in a superficial ritual relationship instead of a love relationship. That's going to change with the new covenant, okay? That new relationship, letter G, leads us to this. Every man will know God. That is, have a personal relationship with God. Every man will know God. And that leads us to letter H. One of the ways that's going to take place, since it's our iniquity that has separated us from him, he will forgive their iniquity and no longer remember their sin. That won't be a divider anymore. Under the new covenant, he will forgive their iniquity and no longer remember their sin. He has a way he's going to take care of that, a way we'll hope to look into in just a little while. Letter I. God will cleanse them from all their filthiness and all their idols. Am I going too fast? Write fast. All right. Letter I. God will cleanse them from all their filthiness and all their idols. He has to do something there that's going to take care of that. Our lives are mixed with filthiness and idolatry. We worship the things that we believe will give us security, will give us the best time. That's a stain on our lives against Almighty God. So that's letter I. God will cleanse them from all their filthiness and all their idols. Letter J. He will give them new hearts and put a new spirit in them, as he will also remove the old heart from them. That's going to be found in Ezekiel 36, and we'll come back to that in just a few moments. He will give them new hearts and put a new spirit in them, as he will also remove the old heart from them. In other words, we want you to see this. The new covenant incorporates a fundamental change in the nature of people. It has to, because our old nature is bent away from God, and there's not a way through just resolutions or trying to do things differently you can overcome the bent away from God. He has to change the bent. He has to straighten us. He has to give us something new. That's why Jesus said you have to be born again. You can't enter the kingdom of God under the old system. You have to be born again. There's a fundamental change that has to take place in you. Okay? He will give them new hearts and put a new spirit in them, as he'll also remove the old heart from them. Letter K. He will put his own spirit in them and cause them to walk in all his statutes, to keep his judgments and do them. He will put his own spirit in them. Now, that's the spirit that wrote all the laws. That's the spirit of holiness, or in other places called the Holy Spirit. What he's going to do is put that spirit in those people who have believed this or who are part of this whole new covenant, and that Holy Spirit living in them would cause them to walk in all his statutes. It was going to be a new motivation, a new power. Working with a new person, this new power, this new spirit, the Holy Spirit, was going to change the behavior of people. Right? Letter K, put his own spirit in them and cause them to walk in all his statutes, to keep his judgments and doing. Letter L, they will live in the promised land, and it will be more fruitful than ever. They will live in the promised land, and it will be more fruitful than ever. As we're going to see, that land is an important part of the restoration of all things. Letter M. It will be the last covenant, ending the age. No other one is needed or could do it. It will be the last covenant, ending the age. No other one is needed or could do it. Now, my emphasis today at the end of this message is going to be on that last point, letter M. You see, that new covenant is what you must put your trust in. Jesus is the Christ. He's the mediator of that new covenant. He's the power of that new covenant. He's the teaching of that new covenant. He is everything. He's all in all, just as we sing in the song. Jesus is that new covenant, and today is the day he's inviting you to trust him fully and completely, entering into the relationship of that new covenant. That new covenant is all about the restoration of all things. Once again, remind you of five things that are found in the timeline of God's revelation that are the gospel. It starts with creation. It gives evidence that a fall took place. It reminds us there is a promise of restoration, a promise of redemption. And through Jesus Christ, we have that redemption. He has died in our place, paying for our sin, and has redeemed us as a new people to prepare us for the coming restoration. So you have creation, fall, promise, redemption, restoration. That's what the Bible's about. It's about taking all of that and showing us how that worked out in time. And that new covenant is the last thing that enters into that restoration. Let it be known, God judged the world once with a flood, and has promised that he's going to judge the world again with a fire, and that he is going to have a new heavens and a new earth. That's what you're looking for. That's what your hope is in. That's what your life is really all about. Everybody okay with me? All right, let's go back now, and let's fill in a few other little parts of this whole outline here. That's a beautiful thing. God will regather Israel from the corners of the earth to which he had scattered them. Now, number one of this, they were scattered due to disobedience. They were scattered due to disobedience. That's why they've been scattered. That's why they were put all over. Just as he said in the old covenant, he said, if you're obedient to me, if you follow this covenant, if you do this covenant, I will let you be prosperous in the field. You'll be prosperous in all that you do. I will give you a bumper crop each year. And what's more, I will make sure that if you follow this principle, like I'm telling you, you work 6 years and on the seventh year, rest. And I will give you in that seventh year all that you need. And you keep doing that. And when you get to seven of those seven periods, I'll give you a year of jubilee, a 50th year, a year in which all debts are canceled, a year in which everybody is set free. That was the acceptable year Jesus was talking about when he read in the synagogue there, I've come to present to you the acceptable year of the Lord. He was talking about a jubilee they had never experienced. They had never had it. He is offering them redemption. He's offering them complete forgiveness, a complete release, full freedom. All right. So let me just make sure you get that. They were scattered due to disobedience because he told them, if you do that, I'll keep it. If you don't do that, I'll send you out of this land. Until such time as you're willing to call out to me, cry out to me, and then I'll bring you back. And then we'll go right back into what we were supposed to be doing. I'll go back into a fruitful land, I'll go back into it all. All right? So having said that, let me get this to you. What's the 828 takeaway that we can say? That's 828 principle. Okay, so God is sovereign, he scatters them out. What's the good that's going to come from it? The good that will come from it is that people to which they were scattered were now going to know God and his revelation. A part which before they didn't have to have any guilt about. See, they didn't know God. They didn't know what it, but now God's people have been moved there with this great big Torah scroll and all these prophecies. And now in their synagogues, they're starting to teach it. And curious Gentiles are coming over and saying, what? Now, whoa, what are you talking about? It was created this way? And we fell? And then there's this promise? Well, why haven't we heard this before? So I can say, by scattering them all over the place, he's making now the whole world aware of who he is, what his covenant is, what the prophecies are, and what the restoration is. That's a beautiful thing, is it not? That God can take an awful thing like that and turn it into a good thing so that, if I can say it this way, when Paul went to preach the gospel all around, man, he walked into the synagogues and there's all kinds of Gentiles that have been a part of that too, saying, whoa. You saying that Messiah, that promised one, has come? Yeah. You saying he's resurrected? Yes. Oh my God, that's wonderful. And they trusted that. Why? Because Israel had been scattered and good came from it. If I can say it this way, look across the aisle, look down the aisle, look at the person sitting next to you. You see, because Israel was scattered, they're sitting here today. That's how they came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Let me go on further. Number two in this, let me just give this. Let's look at Jeremiah 31, 1 to 12, because I want you to see this. You should not base anything you believe on simple things that I say or any other preacher says. You should base them on the word of God. So Jeremiah 31, look at verse 1. We're going to read down to verse 12, so bear with me as I read it all. At the same time, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. He's already saying something that the nation's been divided. Now he's going to be the God of all the families of Israel. Look what he says further. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness, Israel, when I went to give him rest. The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Again, I will build you, and you shall be rebuilt, O virgin of Israel. You shall again be adorned with your tambourines. Now he's writing this at a time that they're being taken captive by Babylon. And the northern kingdom is gone. The southern kingdom will soon be gone. Now he's telling them he's going to build it all again. Go on further. And shall go forth in the dances of those who rejoice. You shall yet plant vineyards on the mountains of Samaria. That's the northern kingdom that's gone. The planters shall plant and eat them as ordinary food. For there shall be a day when the watchman will cry on Mount Ephraim, arise and let us go up to Zion to the Lord our God. For thus says the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the ends of the earth. Among them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, the one who labors with child, together a great throng shall return there. They shall come with weeping and with supplications. I will lead them. I'll cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way in which they will not stumble. For I am father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations. So he's speaking to everybody outside of Israel, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he who scattered Israel will gather him, and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of one stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, streaming to the goodness of the Lord, for the wheat and new wine and oil, for the young of the flock and the herd. Their souls shall be like a well-watered garden. They shall sorrow no more at all. Now you say, that's a lot of reading there. He's telling us that there is coming a time in this restoration when the whole thing is dependent upon the regathering of Israel. He's got to bring them back. They've been scattered. And they've been scattered since 136, kids. That was the last scattering, 136. They were scattered out, and they've been scattered all the way until 1948, when he began to bring them from Russia in the far north, from Eastern Europe, from Western Europe. Then it started being from Africa. Then it started being from China, Chinese Jewish people, bringing them from all over the world and regathering them back in Israel again. Do you see what a great thing that is? That is God doing what he said he was going to do, and the restoration of you, of this whole planet, is dependent upon that little move right there. You're about to see the Almighty God fulfill his word because of that new covenant, that new thing he was going to do. Let me go on with you further. Note this. Here's something else to write down there. He will do this for himself, not because of them. It's not because their great turning around he's going to do that. It is because of himself. They had profaned his name every place he went. And he said, for my own sake, because you have profaned my name, I'm going to do a work in you you couldn't possibly do. Listen how he says it in Ezekiel 36:22. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. He's going to do it himself and for himself. And number three, this regathering is a part of the fulfillment of the new covenant, the promise to Abraham to bless his seed and all the nations and the restoration of the whole earth as it was when he called it very good. As we looked last week, God made a promise to Abraham. He would give him a land, he would make Abraham blessed, and that he would bless all the nations through his seed. Then we read Galatians chapter 3 that reminded us that his seed is Christ. That's the one through whom he's going to bless all the nations. Now, brothers and sisters, I've been in several parts of this world working with churches of believers of all kinds of ethnicities. I have watched God fulfill exactly what he said he would do. We have brothers and sisters in India. We have brothers and sisters in Nepal. We have brothers and sisters in Madagascar. We have brothers and sisters in Bhutan, a Babylonian, a Buddhist nation. We have brothers and sisters in Irangia. We have brothers and sisters all over the world just because this Christ, the seed of Abraham, has blessed all the nations through that. Now that's where you can say, amen. Yeah, and please say it quietly. We're fundamentalists. Okay? Don't get excited about things. Just say, amen. All right? Let me go on further with you. I want to skip down to letter D. We'll talk about the others in a time to come. I think I've kind of shared with you letter B. The days are yet coming when he controls time, timing, the development of events to accomplish his will. I'll show you that at another time in some really interesting passages of Scripture. But I want to go to letter D. D as in Doug. It will be different from the old covenant. Number one in that. Number one, it'll be an unconditional covenant. In Jeremiah 31:31, we don't see him saying anything about conditions. In Exodus chapter 20, chapter 19 and 20, and all the way through the book of Deuteronomy, we find him saying, here are the conditions, here are the conditions. You do this, I'll do this. You do this, I'll do this. Always a conditional covenant. The old covenant was conditional. It was conditioned upon their response. But this new covenant, he's regathering them because he wants to, not because they're wanting to. He's not waiting for their response. He's doing something in them that changes them fundamentally and is bringing them back to his land again. Because it's in this land that he's planning to fulfill all of the prophecies. Everything that Jesus needs to fulfill in his second coming is working with Israel being regathered in that land. All right? So it'll be an unconditional covenant. He's not waiting for the people to make some sort of condition, and he's not telling them any conditions. He's saying simply, I'm changing you. I'm going to cause you to be different. Number two, it will not depend on the unfaithfulness of man. It will not depend on the unfaithfulness of man. As I tried to share with you last week, we are great at making resolutions. We are great at determining we're going to get something done this time. And there's a Sanskrit word for it. I can't even say the word. It means a hero at the start. Now, that means I'm a hero at the first. Listen, when I'm through with the holidays in January, I can become a hero. I can imagine myself now being maybe 20 pounds lighter, 30 pounds lighter. I can imagine myself now with muscles again, like I had at one point. And I can imagine that all I have to do is get to some gymnasium somewhere, and I can see myself doing it. And for 3 days, I'm after it. Until that fourth day, I say, oh, what was I thinking? That was nuts. That hurts like crazy. I just don't feel quite like it this morning. I'll get it tomorrow. And I'm a hero at the first. And the Sanskrit word says, that's the word for failure. You see, it wants us to be a hero at the end. That I made a resolution and I won it. Now, the fact that a Sanskrit word even exists tells you about our penchant as people, does it not? My tendency as a person is to do wrong. I can't follow through, and I won't follow through. And that's why he had the changes. That new covenant is not dependent on our ability to do things. Now look, he is changing you into the image of his son. Everybody with me on this? He's changing you into the image of his son. That's not a fun process always, because he's having to fight against your thoughts of sovereignty, your thoughts of wonderfulness that you are, and the very thought that he's pointing out that you might not be as good and as sovereign as you thought you were is a painful process unless you meet it with humility and say, God, you're right. Change me. I want to be just like Jesus. Okay? He's changing you. But let me just share this with you. Because he's changing you, you are going to, I want you to say this word with me, fail. Okay, say it with me. It comes out. It'll roll right out if you get used to it, okay? Fail. Yeah, you're going to fail. Failure is a part of it, kids. It's a part of it. You are going to fail. He didn't ask you to do something that you could do. He asked you to do that which you cannot do. It is impossible. He gave you his spirit. Now get the point. With your failure, listen to what he says. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You see, with this new covenant, he made it in such a way that in your failure, he wasn't depending on your passing things in order for the covenant to work. He wasn't dependent upon you doing great things in order for this covenant to complete itself. No, he's counting on himself. And to go even one step further, isn't it a wonderful thing that what he did was give you a Savior who exchanged your sin, taking that sin on himself, and gave you back his righteousness so that you could do the law, you could do the things that we'll talk about a little while later, you could do them, but even as he looks at you, he sees you fully forgiven, fully complete, fully like the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he sees you there. He's not seeing you outside of Christ as you once were. He is seeing you in Christ. So when he's looking at you, he is seeing you in Christ, already forgiven, already righteous, already complete, already full. Kids, that is miraculous. That's an unconditional covenant at work in you. Everybody see where we're at? Let me go on with you further. Number three, he will fundamentally change lives. That's how this old covenant's going to be different. It's an unconditional covenant. He'll not depend on the unfaithfulness of man. He will fundamentally change lives. He's going to say, I'm going to take that old heart that's in you. I'm going to replace it with a new heart. I'm going to take that old spirit that's out of me. I'm going to replace it with my own spirit. I'm going to cause you to walk in my law. I'm going to put my law in your heart. You're not going to just keep ritual. You're going to understand what's behind the whole ritual and keep Christ. That's what you're going to do. That's what happens when a person is born again. And can I say this? You cannot imitate that. It cannot be imitated. It can only be participated in. All right. Letter E, he will incorporate the Torah into the lives of people, writing it in their hearts. Now, lest you think that I'm going to take you until 1:30, I'm not. We're not going to look at this part right now. We're going to look at that next week because I want you to see what Torah is about. I want you to see what the law is about. I want you to see how what Christ did was completely fulfill all of the Torah. All of it. And why he put that in your hearts. And how you can live that out every day. As you remember, we began this study with people asking me, what about us keeping the Sabbath? Why don't we keep the Sabbath? We keep all the other Ten Commandments, and I'm just going to say, no, we don't. No, we don't. But I know someone who did. The Lord Jesus Christ finished that. And that's what he gave to you, was its completion, so that you could walk in a new covenant, with a new heart, with a new spirit, with a new understanding, and a new open relationship with your Creator and your Judge. And you can live with him as your Redeemer, knowing his grace and mercy and fullness. That's what's been given to you. And this day, I'd want to call on you. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, as you have begun in him, so continue. You didn't offer him your obedience. That's why you were trusting him. Then don't go back on it and acting like your obedience is what keeps you in him. No, you trusted him because he was complete. He was it. He was all there was. He was your completeness. And you have to walk that way every day the same way. Now, I know that for some, that's going to be hard. That's going to seem like it's just too hard to do. And I promise you, for you, it will be. Matter of fact, let me say it further. You won't get her done. Because you're still trusting somehow in you and your ability. He never made the new covenant dependent upon you and your ability. It's always been upon Christ and what he's done and what he's doing in you. I hope you put your faith and trust in Christ. If you haven't, today would be a wonderful day for you to learn something brand new. He's inviting you. He is calling you. Now let me get it straightened. He's commanding you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the restorer. That's the one that's going to give you forgiveness and a brand new life. Let's look to the Lord in prayer just now. Father, I praise you and thank you that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Thank you for your word, not simply ideas and thoughts to believe in, but the truth. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for inviting us to participate in that. You could have left us just totally in the dark. And you'd still have been just and good and holy and righteous. I want to thank you for what you're doing in us. Oh, Father, make it real. I don't know everybody here, but I know you do. Make it real in their heart and their life this moment, who Jesus really is. And to this end, we're going to thank you and praise you, and for his sake, amen. We're going to have our praise team come and share with you just now, and we sing a final song together. Please consider the words that we're giving you this day to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He is the new, last, final covenant. Praise the Lord for the faithful God. Amen?
Amen?
He has put you in a new covenant if you've trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. He has given you brand new life. You really have been released, free to do his will, free to be as fruitful as you possibly can be. He said, just abide in me. Just do my commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Love your neighbors yourself. He said, if you do that, you'd fulfill everything. You'll do it all. He's calling us to be witnesses of that. And I'd like to encourage you this day, tell someone about the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell him what he's done for you. Tell him how he set you free. Tell him how you have a brand new life through him. That's what he's calling us to do. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you that Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and King of kings. We ask in his precious name that you will open our hearts to the truth as it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Inspire our wills and cause us to walk in all those things. We know you've called us to be a special witness in this whole area. The Metro East needs the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us by your grace and by your power to bring that to the Metro East and then save people, Father. Give them brand new lives. To this end, we're going to thank you. Now, may the Lord make his face to shine upon you, fill you with grace, peace, give you his goodness. Thank you for what he's going to do in your life, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you this evening.